Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. That's how you open a show. That's producer Mike actually singing that from the producer booth. Man, does he know how to sing. Do it again, Mike. You don't know any of those words. Don't pretend you know what they're saying there. If you could replicate that. Not a chance. Well, welcome back to Overnight America. Better than Beyonce, that song for sure. Okay, there's a story that has been circulating on social media, this one on Fox 2. And the headline is, St. Louis County Police say man with baby video isn't what it seems. And I think that it strikes again, where people will take these videos and they'll purposely distort them to their own biases with no regard of what actually happened. And it's a very easy target when it comes to the hatred towards the St. Louis police. 436-7900 is the number. Or 800-925-1120. If you've actually seen this video, we can talk about it here, but let me go through it with you. And I decided not to play the audio because there's a lot of profanities in it, and you really can't tell what's happening through the video. But there's one that shows an interaction between an officer and a man holding a baby. The encounter happened earlier this month. St. Louis County Police say the clip is selectively edited and depicts only portions of what occurred. There's actually two videos that are linked to this story in Fox 2. One video shows someone from the inside yelling, F the police, blank the police, you know, all this over and over and over and over again. As there's a police officer that is trying to stop this one male, 28-year-old. No, how old is he? It doesn't say. I thought I had it in this article, but I can't remember now. But either way, he's younger. And it shows the police trying to apprehend this person, and he's holding on to a very young child. If I had to guess, the baby might be a little over a year old, but holding on to him. And, you know, it shows the police trying to first stop him from leaving, then holding on to a book bag, trying to get him to let go of this book bag. Didn't happen. Then eventually, there's a second video that shows more police officers show up. They try to get this child away from the guy. They couldn't. The guy was shielding and holding on to this kid, refusing to comply with the police. Then another police officer shows up, and eventually they wrestle him to the ground, and they're trying everything they can to get this kid out of the guy's hands. And the people in the video are out there screaming and yelling, that's his kid, blank the police, all of these really things. And this is what the police released. They wanted to give a better picture of what was going down here. So St. Louis County Police responded to the report of a domestic violence call on July 7th, around 11 a.m. A 28-year-old woman says that the father of her child assaulted her. Oh, he was 24 years old? Okay. He was 24. She's 28. Says that the man, the 24-year-old, assaulted her, damaged property inside the home, and then left with their baby. And she called police. This guy's dangerous. He just assaulted me. And she ran off with my kid. So police have a description. They know who they're looking for in the area. And they know that the person they're looking for, roughly the age, 24 years old. And then on top of that, knows has a child with him. So a police officer arrives. And there he is sitting at the bus stop. He requests backup. And the officer also told the man to release the child because you're not getting on that bus. The man refused. Officers ultimately had to use force to arrest the domestic violence suspect and to get the child away. The people inside obviously have their own hatred towards the police. They saw this as them just out there trying to hassle another African-American in town. They feel like it was only race-related. When all of these other circumstances, because the man was arrested on domestic assault, property damage, resisting arrest, and several outstanding warrants. Several outstanding warrants. The kid was in danger. When you take a kid away from a mom after you assault the mom And then you get into a confrontation with police and you use the child as a means to try to evade getting arrested. You're putting the kid at risk. And this guy absolutely, absolutely is at fault here. So they put this video up online. People start spreading it around. They start lying about what the officers had to do. There is no context to it. I mean, sure, the people probably don't know the context of the video, but they don't care what the context is. The context that could have been readily available to them, they could have had a written statement. They could have known exactly what was going on, but it doesn't matter because they got a video of what they think is, oh, here, a police harassing this man again with this kid. Look at how terrible the police are. And then they show it on social media and they use it as another way to try to get people that are brainwashed into believing the police are out there just randomly harassing people because of their race. And it happens over and over and over again. And this is just another example of it. So the viral video was posted online at this Metro bus stop. She posted it saying, young man waiting at the bus stop with his baby getting harassed. And the police had to put a statement out eventually saying that this does not show the entirety of what happens. They also mentioned, we encourage any witnesses to take part in this investigation. Reach out and give us a call on our tip line if you want to talk to detectives. Police have also reached out to the person who posted this on Facebook and have not updated with what happened with the rest of the story. It happens way too much, way too much. This false impression of the police out there constantly, their only job in life is to harass people of a different race. That's what the impression of the police right now. And it's the wrong impression. It's a malicious impression. It's one that's been completely debunked. And it doesn't matter what the truth is anymore. It just, well, we're just going to assume that the person was just, you know, out there getting ice cream with their kid, and we're going to completely ignore the fact that he just was called on a domestic assault. Who knows what he did to the mother of that child, which is, you know, it doesn't say they're married or anything, but who knows what kind of physical violence was used there? You know, it was assault. We know that he took the kid when he shouldn't have taken the kid. We know that he had outstanding warrants. We know that he resisted arrest. All of these things laid out. We know all of these things, but obviously it's the police's fault for all of that. It's the police's fault that he assaulted the woman. It's the police's fault that he took the kid. It's the police's fault that he has outstanding warrants. It's the police's fault they had to use force because he wasn't complying and they wanted to get the kid out of that situation. Of course, it's all the police's fault. So that's the impression that they try to give on social media. And I'm quite frankly very tired of it. I'm getting sick of seeing this over and over again. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, we continue. No, we're not playing any more Beyonce tonight. Just when you thought you would get more Lion King soundtrack. Because this is your official Lion King soundtrack station, KMOX. Maybe not. Akata, Akuna, Matata. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. Let's welcome Phil from St. Louis, and you can call in, too, at 436-7900. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, it's going great on this end, too, and I've, of course, been the person calling about dates and that sort of thing, and but this time I am calling about something a lot more serious, though I did way back in 2017 call about kids online, I remember, but anyway... But you were talking about the video that came out and about the man with the baby and everything.
Oh, yeah. I can reset this. So the St. Louis County Police say man with baby video isn't what it seems. And we just talked about that in the last segment. The videos have been posted on social media. So, Phil, you're calling in about that.
Yes. My sentiment is very much like yours. Matter of fact, I would really have to say, at the very least, I'm sick and tired of, if not just sick about it, because I mean it's gotten to be, you know, it's something that continues to get worse. And you know, I have friends who are black, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're just the same as any white friends or anything like that. In fact, I went to school at Missouri School for Blind, and that was how it was. I was there in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And
you went to the School of the Blind. Are you blind, Phil?
I am, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. How about that?
Yes.
fun fact there. Okay.
Yes. When I was there, everybody was given the same chance. And, you know, like I say, I mean, if you might do a little better than somebody else, but it was because you worked harder and that sort of thing. And there were as many black students who did that as white students. So, you know, so I'm not prejudiced, but I am really tired of all this, police brutality stuff and all the, and especially what's gone on since Ferguson back in 2014. And I could comment about that situation too, but more recently, as you probably, I'm sure, remember the shooting of Michael Landsdorf.
Terrible, absolutely terrible.
And he was white police officer shot by a black man. And I have a friend who comes to DeBerg House periodically to visit, who was a very good friend of Michael Landsdorf. I think they knew each other from childhood or something like that, as I recall. And two things. First of all, when I saw that report, I was like, so where are all the people who protest police brutality? You know, is this a situation? Is this perhaps a situation where they feel vindicated? You know, or something like that? Because
lost
his life.
I don't know if you saw this too. There were people that were very quick to try to capitalize on this and celebrate the death of a police officer.
Oh, gosh.
And there was a lot of that mentality going around because they feel like this is their way to even the score, and it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening.
I also made the comment to this friend. I said, you know, if this had been reversed, had Officer Landsdorf shot the suspect, then people would have been rioting. They would have been on the streets, and you know, God only knows what would have happened and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I can understand the whole sentiment of, you know, yes, you know, what if it was your son or your brother-in-law, nephew, something like that? Sure. And I know that's probably, there's some real heartache, but you know, that would certainly be the case in Officer Landsdorf's family and some others like that too. But you know, I mean, but yet
let me mention this the opposite. Let's say the opposite did happen. So let's say Officer Landsdorf got to that mart. They got into a tussle and it ended a different way. So the fight happens, and let's say the person that was trying to cash those checks, it happened the other way around. So in that tussle and trying to resist arrest, ended up getting shot. So there's some kind of fatal force used in a situation like that. Yeah, they would have looked at it completely as in, here's the police harassing another person. They would have completely have ignored the fact that this person came into the area, was in jail many times for violent crimes, had a long, rap sheet as long as your arm. And they would have completely ignored these things, and they automatically would have assumed the officer was in the wrong for even confronting someone for trying to pass a fraudulent check. So, and that's, it's sickening to me, the people that look at this and celebrate because they see this as, well, this is the outcome they wanted. And there's a lot of that mentality that goes around St. Louis, and to me, there's no redeeming factor in people that look at it that way.
No. I mean, and you look back at the Michael Brown situation back in 2014, and from what I heard, something that you never see in the media is that Officer Wilson was being beaten within an inch of his life by Michael Brown at this time.
Well, that was covered. I mean, there was a lot that was covered on the national stage because of the popularity of that case. So I would say just about everything could come out when you get the feds to come in and Eric Holder to put a report out. When you have all of that in play, I think a lot of people saw a lot of the details there, but then they decided to ignore certain parts because there's still these documentaries that come out that give the complete falsities into what happened during that event, completely ignore the investigation side of things. So it doesn't even matter. You can have the most thorough investigation into it. It still doesn't matter. Still doesn't matter to them. All right. Well, thanks.
Anyway, Ryan, you have a great night, and I tell you, I must say it. I really was hoping I could call in on a Tell Me Something Good segment sometime, but I must say, you may have heard of a person who used to broadcast late at night way back when. His name was Jim White.
Oh, of course,
passed away now, but I think you're the best person who's been on since Jim White.
Wow, how about that?
Yes.
Wow, it does mean a lot to me to say that. I wish I could have met Jim White. I really do. I have all these different stories about him, but I never had the opportunity to, and you know, pass well before I knew who he was. But since you know all these dates in your head, can I throw a date at you and see if you know?
Sure.
All right, let's do July 18th because it's technically July 18th now. July 18th, 1995.
July 18th, 1995 was a Tuesday.
Yes, it was. I don't know how you know that. All right, let's do July 18th, 1994.
Monday.
Okay. Is there a pattern here? Is that how you can tell these things?
Yes, there is somewhat. In fact, one of the things that I got to use in figuring this out was how different years repeat themselves.
Yeah.
For instance, this is Thursday, July 18th, 2019. The last time July 18th was a Thursday was 6 years ago in 2013.
Wow.
Because 2008 was a leap year, the time before that was July 18th, 2002.
Oh, I don't know how you remember things like that. It's just too much. All right, Phil. July 18th, 1992.
That was a Saturday.
I don't know how you know that so quick. That's amazing to me. All right, hey, thank you for calling in. Have a great night.
You too. God bless you.
Yeah, he's completely right. I bring a calendar up when he calls in to check these things. It's surprising. I've watched YouTube videos of people that try to teach you the trick in understanding how you could come up with the day of the week. And there's some calculation. With enough practice, you can do it very quickly. But it's not worth my... I never catch on. I could practice for a week straight. I think about the things I can learn, and I often wonder this. If I were put into a room, solitary confinement style, with like a piano, for example, how much could I teach myself just by putzing around with a piano for a week alone with nothing else to do out of pure boredom? Could I learn how to play a song? Could I catch up on certain things? And I would like to think on a certain level I could pick up on some things. I think if you were to force me with, let's say someone would beat me within an inch of my life, I have to learn the pattern of give me a date and I'll tell you what day that lands on. I don't think I'd be able to do it. It doesn't matter how much practice I would be able to have ahead of time. I just don't know who can do that. It takes a very special mind for that. You know, there's a couple of other stories out there. Since we are getting close to the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, and it's amazing to me, all the people listening right now that remember that moon landing, watching it as a child. I'd love to hear your stories of watching it. But there's been some stories reminding us of that secret plan of what would have happened if they never came back. What would have happened if they were stranded on the moon? I'm going to tell you that story next. If you don't know what the Nixon administration was prepared for at that point. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Also, I would love to talk to someone that remembers watching that as a child live on television. What was that like watching the moon landing? Do you remember what your parents said? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues. I want to thank the message Jim messaged in because he was listening to Phil who called in. And Phil, if you're still listening, says, I think as a blind guy is really honest because he sees no difference in color. Yeah, I like that. Good way to look at it. So I want to thank you and anyone else listening. Do you remember watching the Apollo 11 moon landing live on television? Did you watch Neil Armstrong plant his foot on the moon? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Do you remember watching the news coverage, Walter Cronkite? Do you remember that sitting in your living room, maybe on the floor, your dad sitting up in the couch, and who knows if you guys shed a tear together? That must be one of the most remarkable things that you could have possibly witnessed in your lifetime. It's something that I think one day I'll be able to witness with my son. And it's not that it's just ordinary now, but if they send people back to the moon or Mars or whatever it is, I don't think it'll have the same impact. It's just, to me, there's nothing like, wow, we just did that. America just put a man on the moon. That it's remarkable. And everything we've learned because of that. If you watch that live, I'd love to hear from you at 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And there's some other stories that are out there. And I saw this one come up, and a couple of people have been doing their own version of it, but I'm getting this from Live Science. So what would have happened if Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong couldn't make it off the moon? Now, if you remember, there was an orbiter that was going around the moon, and then they had the capsule that was released and went to the surface of the moon where they got out and they were able to do their testing, grab samples, walk and take pictures, things like that. And then eventually the capsule had to launch back up and reunite with the orbiter, get back together, and then make their way back to the planet Earth. And there was some question, being the first time, if they were going to be able to do this or not. They didn't know. And they were preparing for the worst. So there is a document that has been declassified. You may have seen it, but if not, I'm going to read it to you. When they became the first people to walk on the moon July 20th, 1969, and we're just a few days away from that, then President Richard Nixon became the first human to call the moon from a landline phone. Isn't that cool? Call the moon from a phone. It landed down in the Sea of Tranquility that night. No guarantees that they would be able to make it back safely from that command module. The crew of Apollo 10 had previously plotted the lunar module within 9 miles in the moon's surface, and Apollo 11 astronauts faced that unprecedented challenge of returning the module to orbit. If you have seen the photos of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and them before they were launching, they're getting into their spacesuit. This is before they got in and they were going to launch off into space. The pictures of them are haunting. The looks on their face is absolutely haunting. You get a chance to see it, it is well worth your time, because you can. I don't think there's anyone out there that would have reacted differently than how those men going to the moon would have reacted. So what has been released? In the event of a disaster, there was a speech by H.R. Haldeman, yeah. And in the event of the disaster, this is what would have happened. Prior to the statement that Richard Nixon would have went on television and read this to the American people, he would have telephoned each of the widows-to-be. And after the president's statement, there's a point when NASA ends communication with the men. Because if the module wouldn't have lifted, if they wouldn't have been able to get back to the orbiter, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong would have been stranded on the moon. They would have died of starvation, or they would have committed suicide with something that was allowed to them. I don't know if it was a cyanide capsule or something like that, but out of the abundance of not being able to mentally handle that sort of situation, we wouldn't have just kept open communication for them to keep a video of their feed of them dying on the moon. It would have been cut off immediately. That's what the procedure was. So in the event of a moon disaster, here's the statement that Richard Nixon would have read to the American people. Fate has ordained that the men who went to the moon to explore in peace will stay on the moon to rest in peace. What a line. These brave men, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Aldrin, know that there is no hope for their recovery, but they also know that there is hope for mankind in their sacrifice. These two men are laying down their lives in mankind's most noble goal, the search for truth and understanding. They will be mourned by their families and friends. They will be mourned by their nation, and they will be mourned by the people of the world. They will be mourned by a Mother Earth that dared send two of their sons into the unknown. In their exploration, they stirred the people of the world to feel as one. In their sacrifice, they bind more tightly the brotherhood of man. In ancient days, men looked at stars and saw their heroes in the constellations. In modern times, we do much the same, but our heroes are epic men of flesh and blood. Others will follow and surely find their way home. Man's search will not be denied, but these men were the first, and they will remain the foremost in our hearts. For every human being who looks up at the moon in the nights to come will know that there is some corner of another world that is forever mankind. That is the speech that Richard Nixon would have read if Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were stranded on the moon. Wow. Thank God that speech was never read to the American people. And I'm glad they made it back safe. 436-7900 and 800-925-1120. If you remember watching that moon landing, I would love to hear your story. What was that emotion like for you? What were you feeling? You might have been too young to understand the significance, but what were your parents feeling? Let's go to Giovanni. He's calling in from Ferguson because you remember a different event. Hey, Giovanni.
Hey, how you doing? Enjoying your show?
Thanks.
Listen, I vaguely remember that. I was like 9 years old, I believe. But I did want to say this. I did see face-to-face the Challenger blew up. I pulled right off the highway to watch it go up, and I thought it had just disappeared because it was going so fast.
Oh, wow.
And it did not. And when I got in the car, that's when I heard the announcement what had happened, and all of our hearts just dropped.
Oh, my. So you were down, it was in Florida? Is this Cape Canaveral?
It was in Florida, right.
Wow.
Right off the highway to watch it go up, and it went up, and then it just went, boom, out of nowhere. So we thought, that's how fast it goes. You know, we've never seen it take off.
The significance of that event, knowing that there were schools, I mean, watching it live because there was a teacher on board, and the kids witnessing that firsthand, not knowing how to understand the things they were watching.
Right.
Wow.
It was sad. It was, once we got back in the car and heard what had happened, oh, my God, we didn't believe it. It was just unbelievable.
Who's we? Who are you with?
It was a church affiliate.
Oh, wow.
We were on our way to Florida for revival that weekend.
Wow. So you pulled over.
With the family.
So there was like a bus or a van or you were in and then...
A van of us, yes.
Wow. And no one really understood. How far away were you?
Not far.
So you saw it go up. You saw the launch. Could you hear anything?
Oh yeah, we heard we heard it go up. We heard all the power like a jet and stuff like that, you know. Except, you know, when we didn't hear the bang, we just saw it disappear.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Wow.
We didn't know where it went to. We're like, okay, I guess that's as far as we can go.
It was there and then it wasn't.
Then it wasn't, yeah.
Wow. Giovanni, that's something else. Now that had to have been hard to process listening on the radio. Do you remember what the news was like at that time?
It was like, oh my God, oh my God.
That's news reports? They were like that?
It was like that. It was like that. You know, the Challenger just blew up, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
I remember. And it just went on.
There's videos online. You can listen to Mission Control and them trying to understand what happened, but they witnessed this thing and then they go into panic mode of what
they did. Everybody was there. The news was like everybody was just panicking.
Well, you've seen what happened. What was the reason for that after the fact? They've been able to investigate it, and they know exactly what happened.
You know what? I couldn't tell you to this day. I don't remember exactly. I think something caught on fire fuel-wise. I mean, I don't remember.
Yeah, there was, and you know, it's quite a remarkable story. Out of fear that I'll get it wrong, I'll still try to tell you either way. So there were scientists that were working on this, and they go through these preparations and inspections because they go through a lot of inspections to make sure the safety of these. And one scientist had an objection, and he wouldn't sign off on it because he believed the way the temperatures were changing, it would affect this gasket. And with the way this gasket would be affected, there was a chance that there would be some leakage of fuel, and it could ignite and blow everything up. Well, in his mind, he thought, you know what? I can't be a part of this. They wanted him to sign off on it and he wouldn't. And eventually he was reassigned and taken off the team. The engineers that went in before moved forward and they didn't think it was going to be an issue because of the temperature changes. Well, it became an issue and Challenger exploded. And this one scientist, the one that tried to warn them all that was ignored, he has to live with that because he did everything he could to try to stop that from going up and the worst happened. And
That's
I think
true.
He's still alive. From what I remember, I think he's still alive.
You think they ever apologized to him?
I don't know. That's got to be a hard one to, either way, anyone involved in that, I can't imagine the guilt they would have felt for all of those years. And knowing that some of them had nothing to do with it, it must have been very difficult.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I bet you one thing, I bet you he was glad he was put off of it.
I'm sure he was. It's probably not a good feeling to be vindicated that way, but it's one that he knew that he did everything he could and he did the right thing, sure.
Yep.
That's sad. All right, Giovanni, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Do you remember seeing that? Were you there sitting on the living room floor 50 years ago watching the moon landing? 436-7900. Give us a call on that number or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Doug texted in. He said, I did watch the moon landing, but it wasn't at my parents' house. I was at someone else's house after band rehearsal, and we all watched it on their television. It was one of the coolest things I ever saw. So was that, did they know it was about to happen, the live broadcast? Was it scheduled out and people were just waiting for that television broadcast? Or I wonder if it was just all of a sudden, you know, breaking news, the television was on and they were there watching, knowing that it could happen at any time. I'm just curious. If you witnessed that, I'd love to hear you tell me what it was like for you to feel the emotions. What were your parents saying? What did your friends say? What did you talk about in school after? If you remember, 436-7900, that's the number. There's a story also from CBS's Peter King, and there is a pretty big effort right now to try to make sure the Apollo 11 landing site is preserved forever. Now that we try to talk about privatizing space travel and people want to send things up to the moon, we don't really have a good picture of what that landing site looks like right now. There have been different satellites that have taken pictures, but it's been so far away, you can't really tell. Like, you can kind of see little smudges in the photo, and you can say, okay, here's where the rover is, here's where the landing site was, here's this and that. But what they want to make sure next is that once we start sending more things to the moon more frequently, that we don't mess up this site, kind of like we want to preserve different sites here in the United States.
As other countries send spacecraft to the moon and with commercial space and space tourism in the future, the Organization for All Moonkind hopes to preserve the Apollo 11 landing site as is.
That site itself is not protected by any law, either domestic or international.
Co-founder and attorney Michelle Hanlon says Congress is considering a bill that would prohibit any U.S. company from tampering with Tranquility Base or any other landing site. She hopes for an international agreement to do the same.
We have 40 volunteer lawyers from all around the world looking at how we can create a convention to protect heritage and outer space.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
It's such a weird thing to think, but yeah, I can imagine. What if there were some sort of international pirates that think, okay, I can spend the, you know, tens of millions of dollars, get myself to the moon, and then I'll just take from the Apollo 11 site and I'll sell it and I'll make money off of it, right? You don't want people messing with that. Whew. I'll tell you what, it makes sense. I'm glad they're out there to try to protect that. Let me get to Mark in Chesterfield. Hey, Mark.
Hi. I was 14 at the time, and on the first landings and the first several Apollo missions, those items were scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So you knew what time to turn on television.
Oh, so you were watching all of them. You remember them.
I remember the landing. I remember the first man on the moon. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Where were you at the time? Was it here?
I lived here in St. Louis.
Okay. Did you watch it with your parents?
Yeah, I was 14.
Right. What was that like? What was the emotion that you remember?
It was basically kind of an awe that we were able to do that. I was old enough to have seen the things that led up to the successful missions. You know, the Apollo 1 fire, the Gemini. You know, there were two Gemini astronauts that were killed right here in St. Louis when their jet crashed at Lambert Field, hitting part of the McDonnell Douglas complex.
Mm.
But in more recent times, I had the opportunity to live in New Orleans. So I would live north of Lake Pontchartrain, and the space shuttles that came through back to Earth through the northern route basically went right down my street.
Oh, wow. How about that?
It was with a pair of binoculars, you could actually see the outline of the shuttle. So when that shuttle broke up on reentry, we kind of had it timed out that when it would be reported coming over California, we knew pretty much how many minutes would transpire because there had been about two of them prior to that.
Wow.
So when the clock got passed...
what time was it that the broadcast started?
What time was the broadcast of the lunar landing?
We'll say Apollo 11, the landing there.
I can't remember.
Was that during the day, night, evening? I'm curious. I don't exactly know what time it translates to.
If it happened this time of the year, it could have been during the day, but I think it was in the evening.
Yeah.
I think they kind of scheduled that so that it would be in prime time.
I see. Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's weird how those things could time out. It's so remarkable. I learned so much. I've been to the Neil Armstrong Museum in Wapakoneta, and there's all kinds of great artifacts up there. It's amazing the things that have been preserved in a small town like that, knowing that these things deserve to be in the Smithsonian. But it's the way they treated the astronauts when they came back. I mean, they put them in quarantine. They had a special, holding tank that because they were afraid that there would be all kinds of space radiation or whatever coming off of them, and they were afraid to let them back just immediately on because they thought, oh, what if they carried diseases back from the moon? They didn't quite understand the vacuum of space.
There is quite a bit of material at the Smithsonian.
Mark, I'm glad you're able to share that. And wow, that being able to relive this 50 years later, it's got to bring back some emotions to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Wow. I did learn a lot from that Wapakoneta, Ohio, Neil Armstrong Museum, and it's well worth your time if you ever drive through Ohio. It's right off of 75, so if you're going up maybe to Michigan to vacation or something like that, or maybe you're traveling up to Toledo or depending on what's up there, I don't know what you would, maybe you're just trying to get to the Turnpike, you're going to Cleveland or whatever it is. Spend a couple hours. It's not that big of a building, but it has some of the most remarkable things there. And I'll tell you this, it's never busy, which is pretty remarkable if you think about it. It's one of those small hidden gems that are out there. So I've been there before. Once a year, they do the Summer Moon Festival where they celebrate Neil Armstrong. And I think it was just going on this past weekend, if I remember correctly. And they bring astronauts in, and you can take tours of this museum with an astronaut. And they'll explain things to you like, oh, wow, I've never seen one of these up close, or I've never, because this is what they do now. And, oh, they used to do it this way, but they don't. And then they point out, and it was one of the coolest experiences I ever had. And I got to tell you, there was only a group of 20 of us with an astronaut, a real astronaut that was a pilot of a space shuttle. It was so cool. I took an autograph photo back, and I had a picture with him. I thought I was the coolest nerd in the world. Going and doing something like that. Coming up in the next hour, we got a lot more to talk to. In fact, if you missed the very first hour of this radio program, we had something very special. We brought on two Border Patrol agents, and we had a chance to talk to them about all kinds of things that go on the southern border. We actually opened the phone lines for people to ask questions. I want to replay some of those coming up in the next break, or the next hour, I should say. We'll keep your phone lines open for you, too, at 436-7900. Also, 800-925-1120. You can reach us on Twitter at Ryan Recker. That's my handle. Or KMOX.com/ONA. Download the podcast. And thank you for everyone that hopped on there and gave us a 5-star review. We could use some more of those. It really does help us. This is Overnight America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.